I'd like to speak on this morning is hearing the voice of the Lord. So let's begin with prayer and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time when we can go into the Word of God together. And Lord, how we do appreciate your Word and how that we don't have to search for this and that. Father, that you've given us a revelation, and Lord, that you've revealed yourself to us in the Word and through your Spirit, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of Christ that dwells within us. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified through the ministry today, Lord, and through our gathering together, Lord, that we know that in all phases of life that you are with us and that we have ministry one to another. And I just pray that would be expressed today. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 115. The reason why I want to start here is because there's a comparison here between our God and the gods of the heathen, the gods of the pagan. And let's start in verse 2. It says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." So we can see from this passage a description of the heathen gods. And, many of the heathen have a practice of making images and worshiping those things. I grew up in Japan, where Buddhism is a predominant religion, and I would see people come to the shrines and they clap their hands, I guess, to wake the god up and ring the bell and put food and drink out for them and say their little prayer and turn away and laugh and leave. And it's just what we have described here is these things are made. Maybe they make them with eyes, but they can't see. Maybe they have ears, but they can't hear. But we know that the Lord God, Jehovah, speaks all through the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord. He hears. He sees. He smells. A sweet savor comes in. His arm is not short. He walks with us. You know, we see this about our God that is not true of any other God. It's unique to the living God, Jehovah. And today I want to focus in on God speaking. If you look in your concordance, you can find a lot of references to the voice of the Lord. And I found quite a few scriptures. I don't want to read all of them. But just for point of reference, Psalm 29 speaks a lot about the voice of the Lord and how His voice is powerful. His voice is full of majesty. His voice breaketh the cedars. His voice maketh the hinds to calve. The voice of the Lord. We know it was the voice of the Lord that brought this creation into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke, and things happened. And so God's voice is very powerful. Let's look at another psalm. I want to look at a couple different places here in the psalm. Psalm 46, verse 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Well, that's a powerful verse, very descriptive of the power of God's voice. I mean, in the midst of raging men, you know, raging against God, and we will break his bands asunder, and all the things the heathen can say, and God utters his voice and the earth melted. Reminds me of when the Lord spoke on Mount Sinai, and what a terrible presence of the Lord. And I don't use that word terrible in a negative way. But the people were terrified. In fact, they told Moses, you speak with God, we'll hear what he says from you. We don't want to come into his presence. Our Lord speaks with a powerful voice. And if we could go over to Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So here we see the voice of God's word is brought into it. So God speaks through his word, and we're going to see some other scriptures concerning that. But, you know, he has spoken a lot of times directly to man through angels and through different messengers. God has spoken audibly from heaven. And then God has spoken to men who wrote down what he said, and that is what we have with the Word of God. We have his revelation that has been written out. And so the voice of God's Word is very powerful as well. I'd like to look at one other reference, and that's in the book of Kings, 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. I'm sure you know this scripture. I just kind of want us to see the scope of how God speaks, you know, something of that. And the Lord is speaking to Elijah here. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still, small voice. And that's probably how we hear the Lord the most, is through this still, small voice. He's not limited to that. And we're going to, you know, we see in these other examples that he can speak very powerfully, very loudly. But we see a scope here of how God speaks and how that he doesn't always do something the same way. And but we need to have ears that are tuned in and listening to his voice. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. Let's start in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And that prophecy goes on to say, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here we have a description of God speaking. First there's directly from the heavens, we see that the Father speaks and says of his beloved Son, speaks of him, testifies that he is pleased with him. And that was an audible voice from heaven. Peter and others that were there, they heard that. There have been other times when God's spoken from heaven. Everybody doesn't always hear what is being said. Maybe to them it sounds like thunder or something. But there are those that would hear and understand what's being said. Okay, so that's one way of God speaking. Then, secondly, we have here is the sure word of prophecy. And it speaks of being more sure than that voice that came audibly from heaven. And so, these are the ways that God speaks. He will speak, has in the past spoken audibly from heaven. There's no limitations that he may speak that way at any time. He speaks through his messengers, his angels, our ministering spirits, messengers of God. The prophets are messengers of God that have brought God's word, and God speaks through them. And he speaks through the prophecy of his word. There's a verse in Revelation that says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So prophecy always ties to the Lord. It's related to the testimony of Jesus. And we read in Hebrews that in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And so the Lord Jesus in his ministry was the Father's apostle. He was the messenger of God. He brought God's message and he continues to speak. And he speaks to his church today. And he speaks through his people today. And if you're a child of God, you've been given that privilege of being able to hear God's voice. I'd like to turn over to Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. In verse 10, the disciples ask a question of the Lord. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Okay, I think it's pretty clear from this passage that not everyone can hear the voice of the Lord. In verse 13, we see that there are those that, although they have physical eyes, they can't see with spiritual eyes. They have physical ears, but they can't hear the things of God. And one thing that happens when a person is born again is their ear is awakened. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah chapter 50, that describes, I think, our Lord Jesus. I see in that passage the Lord as a disciple of the Father, and it speaks of how his ear has been awakened, and that now he can hear from the Lord, and what he hears, that will he speak, and he'll walk in the way that God has told him to walk. And that is how it is for the believer when we're born of the Spirit. We get an ear that's quickened to the voice of the Lord. And that's a blessing. That's a privilege. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Not all can hear. Not all can see. We've been given that privilege when we come to the Lord. And we should appreciate that, not take that lightly. Another thing that we see in the Old Testament is that when the priest was consecrated, they had a ceremony for consecrating the Levite, the Levitical priest, and they sprinkled blood on the priest's ear. His right ear, his thumb of his right hand, and the big toe. Those things had meaning. You know, his ear was consecrated that he could... How would he know what to do if he wasn't able to hear from the one he was serving what he was supposed to do? And so those things... in a picture, were consecrated unto God or dedicated unto God. And as Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we've been given ears to hear. God's done that part. Our part is to be attentive and to listen for his voice. Okay, we know that faith comes by hearing. The just shall live by faith. Our whole life is wrapped up with faith, a life of faith. And that is predicated on being able to hear the voice of God and to hear His Word and then respond to it. I'd like to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So we have a example here in the life of young Samuel. Does anybody know what the name Samuel means? It means heard of God. And let's look in this passage, chapter 3. We'll start in verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." He said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Okay, we won't read what God went on to say to him, but I just wanted us to see here how that, in the beginning, Samuel was not familiar with the voice of the Lord. He did not yet know the Lord, it said. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And so he had to be helped by an older man how to discern the voice of the Lord. And when it uses the word the word was not yet revealed unto him. And so I think that we could say that when God speaks to us, that His Word is revealed to us. That's what's happening when He speaks to us. His Word is revealed to us. It's revealed in our ears. And Samuel went with that. He was a man of God. He was faithful to the Lord. He delivered the message. The things that he heard from God, he spoke to man. And this last, well, we didn't read the verse, but in verse 19, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." Well, I thought that was a pretty important verse. Sometimes we hear from the Lord, but we don't follow through with it. We let His words fall to the ground. Or we hear and then other things come and they cloud the issues, you know, and then we start wondering, well, was that really God or what was it? And so, again, the word of the Lord falls to the ground. I'd like to just mention, again, we've touched on this through some of the verses that we've read, but to look at the manner in which God speaks to His people. Okay, we've seen how that God speaks through His Word. We have a sure word of prophecy, and the whole Bible is there for us. You know, we don't have to divide it up into, well, this related to that period of time, and this relates to this period of time, so I can't really use that verse. But God will speak through all the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction, reproof. And there'll be times when the Bible, you know, will have a, there'll be a prophecy or something in the Old Testament that had a something that was said to a specific time or person or event. But perhaps God will use that same scripture to speak something to you today about something different. So there can be a dual application, if you will, of the scripture, where God personalizes it, gives you a promise from His Word, and blesses you, and you've heard His voice through His Word. We have other things, you know, that we could say. Well, a lot of people wonder, well, what's the will of God for me? Well, there's a lot of things that are really pretty cut and dry in the Word of God. And I think of the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the scriptures. He was reading in Isaiah. He didn't understand what he was reading, and Philip came along. You know, Philip was sent by the Lord to speak to that man, and he asked Philip for some explanation. Philip gave him explanation. The man had understanding, and then he said, what does hinder me to be baptized? Well, how did he know it was the will of the Lord for him to be baptized? It was revealed to him. I don't know that, you know, at that time that he had it, that it was written, but he knew that that was what should be done. Either Philip told him, or he had understanding from other scriptures. And so he followed through with it. He obeyed it. He heard the word of the Lord, and he didn't let his word fall to the ground. And so the Lord will speak to us all the time through the word. That's why we need to be in the word all the time, be washed by the word of God. And as we are deliberating things, have to make a decision, God will bring a verse to our remembrance. And I know them, and they follow me. And so we've been given that capacity to hear the voice of the Lord. And so as God speaks to us through His Word, may we apply it. God will speak to us through His messengers. We've seen how that the angels have brought the word of God. And there are times today, you know, we read of our brethren in some places, we've read testimonies of how God would bring an angel as a ministering spirit with a message. And so that way of speaking continues, although it's probably not common in our experience. But we can't rule those things out. He speaks through His angels. He speaks through His people. He speaks through His prophets. You know, sometimes the Lord will bring somebody into our life to say something to us that will be God's way of speaking to us. That gave clarity to me. That made me understand this is the way that I should go. This is what I should do. And so I need to not let that word fall to the ground and walk in that. I think that most of the time the Lord just speaks to us in a still, small voice. He speaks into our spirit. That's the chamber, if you will, through which God has fellowship with us. And there's a verse in the Proverbs, I'm afraid to try to quote it, but Proverbs 20:27, The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. A candle here is not like we think of a candle. You know, it's a lamp. And when we were in Kenya, I saw these lamps. I'm sure Jim saw them. These little, like a cup with a handle on it, and it had oil in it or kerosene in it, and then there was a wick that just curled out of it. And they would lamp those things. They were kind of smoky, but they'd give out some light, and that was their lamp. It was just a vessel, and that's what this is talking about. It's man's spirit is the vessel through which God inhabits. When we're born of the Spirit, there's a marriage that takes place between man's spirit and God's, and He's able to inhabit us through our spirit. And that is the means by which we can hear the voice of God and we can have fellowship with Him. And He speaks to us in our spirit in a still small voice. And we see in the book of Isaiah, we won't turn there, but it talks about, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Be still and know that I am God. That's why we talk, you know, about having a quiet time. Why? Because there are hindrances to the voice of the Lord. The world is a hindrance. You know, you get around a loud radio, and it's hard to meditate on the things of God. And so there are things that we can do to improve our reception, if you will, to hear the voice of the Lord. What are the hindrances to hearing? Well, the philosophy of the world. You know, all the things that the world have to offer, the way they think, their perspective on things, anything that we would consider to be the world. That's a hindrance to God's voice. Distractions. You know, busyness. We see the example of the Lord Jesus, how He rose early in the morning, went out to a solitary place. There was a reason why He did that. And so that should be, you know, our attempt to find that type of place. It's not always possible. I read a biography of Jonathan Goforth, who was a missionary to China. And I think he had 8 to 10 children. I know he had a few children and lived in a small house. It wasn't always possible for him to find a place that was real solitary, one would think. But he would stand in front of a window and there'd be activity behind him. But he was able to make that his solitary place and come before the Lord and listen for the Lord and wait on the Lord. We read a testimony, I believe Hudson Taylor was recounting, of a woman that he met in the streets of London that had a lot of things to do, kids, but she was a godly woman, and he asked her, how do you find time with the Lord? And she said in her English accent, I just throw my apron over my head and I'm in the presence of the Lord. And so what is there is a effort, a desire to be with God. If you desire to be with God, you're going to hear God's voice. I don't know, maybe some people can come up with certain steps to take, or you do this and follow this and you'll hear from God. And I don't have that kind of counsel, but I would say just let your heart cry out to God. I think if a man or a woman says, "Lord Jesus, help me," you're going to have a response. This poor man crieth. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So we need to minimize the influence of the world upon our lives, distractions, noise, and sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So my exhortation, I guess, in this would be, have a desire for God. Another thing I see is it says that ye have not because ye ask not. And sometimes we don't ask the Lord because we don't really expect much. The Lord talked about asking, seeking, and knocking. There's kind of a progression there. It gets a little more serious. And God is looking for us to persevere, to follow through. I remember going through a time in my life when we first went to Brazil. The first year was very hard for us. There was a time when I just felt that God was gone. I didn't hear from Him anymore. And sometimes you have to work through that. And I think that those times are there to see really where our heart is at. Am I following God just because He's doing something for me? No, I love Him. And I'm going to stick with Him. And I'm going to follow Him. And I'm going to pursue Him. And I'm going to cry out to Him. And the Lord will hear me. And as He wishes, He will respond to me. And it'll be good. And so I want to encourage the brethren just to listen for the voice of the Lord. I want to talk some more tomorrow about waiting on the Lord, because that ties right in with this, you know. And we need to wait. There's just some patience involved in this. There's a willingness to be still. There's a willingness to put aside human reasoning. God might tell you some pretty crazy things. And if you start counseling with worldly people, they'll tell you it's crazy. But be careful of that. Don't let when you're hearing from the Lord, don't let things shake you off of that or cloud the issue. But pursue what God is telling you to do. And may the Lord bless you.